It is Thursday, the 24th of January, and this is episode 148 of Digital Outbox. Welcome along to another episode. I'm Chris, I'm hosting today, and as ever, I'm joined by Ian. Hello, Ian.
Good evening. Little top tip for you.
Yes?
Don't mention suicide.
No, don't do that. That would make a bad intro, yeah. And it would have to be redone.
Yeah.
So welcome along. Yes, thanks for joining us again. We've got some news for you this week, and not all of it's bad, hopefully. Some of it is.
Some of it's quite funny, I think.
Yeah, there we go.
In my head.
Yeah. So let's crack on with some news. Quarterlies, it's quarterlies season. And people have been telling us how they've been doing. So without mentioning any numbers.
No, because I took the solemn oath that we shall never cover quarterlies again.
So we're going to cover them, but without numbers, and hope that you don't notice. So go on then, how have people been doing?
Google is good, better than expected. A bit strange because they warned 2 days beforehand that were not going to be as good as you all think, but they were better. And ad click rates are still dropping. But their revenues are going up and their profit's gone up.
So, well, so they're doing something right then.
Yep.
So I guess people are bidding more per click then. If click rates are dropping, I guess people are just bidding more per click.
Yeah.
So they're finding their market level. Ads are now all pervasive everywhere. You know, now that they've made it easier for people to add adverts on their YouTube videos and stuff, they're all over the place. It's really, for advertisers, it's really starting to become the market that they've been talking about. You know, really, really fine-grained, you can really target your adverts.
What was the name of the video that everybody was playing last year? Psy, Gangnam Style.
Yes.
They don't usually talk about like individual things, but that made $10 million.
You're joking?
No.
Through advertising revenue?
On YouTube. On YouTube alone.
I want to make a video like that. I want $10 million.
I think you could, I think, with the right...
It's a bit fluky. It's one of those weird how things like that just...
But you've got the right look.
I have at the moment. I've just got back from circuit training. I am not built for circuit training and I die weekly. Anyway, so yes, I look a state. How have Apple done? We got to cover Apple.
Apple have... This is bizarre. Can't believe I'm going to say this. They've done good.
They've done good, boy.
Last year in total, they've made more profit than any other company in history.
So obviously that's shareholders are really happy about that, yeah?
And so share prices dropped.
Yeah, of course they did.
because there was lower than analysts expected. And
bloody analysts.
Yeah. And so the Apple fanboys have been out in good form and saying last year was 14 weeks and a quarter. This is only 13 weeks. And that, if you take that, that makes all the difference. And you know, analysts aren't accounting for that. And I think the thing to look at is the iPhone's kind of plateauing. I think they've saturated probably what they can from folk that are willing to spend between, you know, £400 and £600 on an iPhone.
Everyone's got a bloody iPhone. Of course it's going to plateau. Yeah.
So that growth is shrinking, and I think you're only going to see that, especially as the competition has caught up. I mean, Android phones, you know, are in general very, very good now. Hardware's superb, design's really good, and Android as a platform is really good. iPad's still showing massive growth.
Yeah, and I think that's still got some way to go. I think the iPad minis sparked that again. Christmas was obviously really strong for it, so yeah. But they... You know, they're going to need their new product soon because, again, everyone buys their products and they buy them so quickly.
I think Tim Cook made a good point. He says we could put an Apple logo or a brand on most things and it would sell something, but that's not what we're about.
No.
And I don't see the need to... lots of talk about they need their next big thing, and it's like, do they?
Well, they do. They need something in the pipeline, that's at least. You know, they're an ideas company. They have to lead the way. People are thirsty for it.
I think what they are losing is they're losing their coolness, their prestige, their kind of top of the market. I think people are realizing that there is good competition out there. There is alternatives. not just only Apple and nothing else.
I think they've still got an edge. I think right, that edge is being receded, you know, but that's what happens. So Nokia as well, they've had their statement.
And that was good, better than expected. So they're starting to make a little bit of money. Sales have gone up. And generally, it was, I think most people were like, wow.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's been down on them because they can see the end almost, but but it seems like they're doing better than we think. So there we go. That's quarters without figures. Just insert your own bloody great astronomical numbers in there.
That may be a .com. Quarters without figures, .com.
There you go. Atari, famous computer brand, they've filed for bankruptcy. So following on from all our kind of doom and gloom, they've filed for bankruptcy. They're trying to split away from their owner company so that they can actually go and sell and continue to trade.
But it's crazy. They'll be able to do that. I mean, they want to sell things like Pong, Asteroid, Centipede. They want to actually sell
Talk about holding. But talk about living in the past.
They want to sell their logo.
Why are they going to... They're never going to make any more money off those franchises.
Really?
Of course they're not.
Oh, I think they would.
Really? How are you going to make money off of... Just to say how advanced Atari been, they've been releasing remakes of Pong and, you know, Snake or whatever into the, you know, these Xbox marketplaces.
I would buy Tempest right now for the iPhone.
Wow. There you go.
There you go.
Shut me up.
I don't know if I would buy Centipede.
So basically, yeah, they're planning on pulling away from their parent company so they can continue to trade, but it's not looking good. They get another massive name, but if you look at their kind of recent successes, they haven't made good games recently. Certainly not real AAA blockbusters.
No. I mean, I guess other windows, which I kind of deliberately didn't bother covering because I just got a bit annoyed about all the doom and gloom last week, but THQ is gone as well. That is a big, you know, modern games company.
I believe, and they've had hit and miss as well. So they've actually been there or thereabouts.
I think the problem is the big AAA titles now are so expensive that if they don't have hits with them, it just sinks, you know, whole 400 strong teams. You know, it just like kills that you know, company or development arm. It's amazing how much these titles are now costing.
Yeah, so if you make a game and you plow all your money into it, you've only got a certain amount of money. If you don't get that money back, that's it. You've got no reserves and you can't go on and make other games. The ongoing, and you know, with houses like EA, who have got so much money to plow in, you know, they can take more of a risk. But even they will, you know, if they take too many risks, they'll run out of cash as well.
Also, I think I'm just looking through an article here that's talking about some of the titles, and it was like, you know, Saints Row, Company of Heroes. They weren't the big AAA sellers. They were kind of getting there, but not quite.
Yes, they're middle ground. So you spend the big money on it, but you may make your money back, but you don't make enough to be able to invest again going forward. And it gives everyone a little bit of a scare as well. That's the thing. You know, these are massive entertainment releases with entertainment budgets. They're movie budgets, basically. Yep.
Still, there's a bit of a file sale. So Relic Entertainment, who did bring us Company Heroes and Warhammer, they've been bought by Sega. So THQ Montreal have been bought by Ubisoft. You know, so
I think THQ as a brand is also up for sale, so we might even see THQ in games. So their assets will live on, and I think THQ will probably live on as well. So let's keep talking about sort of companies changing hands, because HMV, we talked about last week, gone into receivership, but they're getting bought, or their brand is getting bought by the company that already own HMV Canada. So that company has taken on the debts. What's the company called?
Hilco.
So they've taken on the debts, and they have said that they will hopefully restructure and reorganize and keep HMV going. So that good news, and hopefully good news for at least some of the employees. I doubt very much they'll keep everything open everywhere. Currently, they've still managed to be trading, which is good. Hopefully this new owner will be able to take them forward.
And I think, I mean, as I said last week, there was 100 or 120 shops or stores and were profitable, you know, so it was, I think they're probably guaranteed to keep going, and there will be a
There's got to be a cull of some sort, because if a company gets into serious issues, you can't just leave it as it is. You've got to do something.
Exactly.
Even because if that's only just to show the shareholders or whatever. That
absolutely. I mean, going into administration, so fair enough, you can kind of almost start again in some cases, but the model doesn't work, you know, so you've got to change something.
They've got a high street presence. They've got a brand. They've got a bit of trust, and they've got a great lack of competition on the high street. So
yeah, absolutely.
Something must be possible.
Yeah.
There we go.
And interestingly, Hilco are actually rumoured to be looking at Jessup's as well.
Okay.
So might not have disappeared forever.
Sony. They've been fined. So this, ages and ages ago, they pretty much released a whole ton of UK users' data.
It's almost 2 years ago.
It's wow.
May 2011.
Limenek. And just now, though, just recently, they've now had a fine issued, £250,000 fine for a serious breach of the Data Protection Act. And this was pretty much them giving away their entire, well, I say their entire, it was a large release of user data from their, what's their service called? I can't remember what it's called now.
Neither can I, because I think May 2011 was the last time I switched on my PS3.
You know, the only time I turn on since is to watch Blu-rays, and I don't sign in anymore.
So I think it was just called the PlayStation Network.
Yeah, so there we go. They've been fined. I guess that is a serious amount of money when you're talking about a company that's, you know, at the end of its cycles of things and probably...
And interestingly, some people criticised it and said that actually they thought it should be more, but they felt they'd went through enough punishment already, just to how much money that it's cost the band and how much they had to pay out in compensation, etc., for people that did get breached. But Sony are very annoyed about this. They're actually going to appeal. They think they've been wrong.
I'd say it's £250,000. It's still a lot of money.
Yeah. And I mean, certainly the issue, I think, from... ICOS, that's the Information Commissioner's Office. The issue from their perspective is that they believe it could have been prevented. You know, it was kind of, you know, lazy and shoddy on Sony's side.
At the time it was reported as lazy. It was almost one of those things where if you're on the inside of the network, it's just guaranteed you full access, because it assumed if you're on the inside that you were allowed to be there. So once you'd got through the first firewall or whatever, that was it. Or once you'd hacked the PlayStation to do a certain thing, then it thought it was okay. If you look at how Microsoft has managed to keep their service secure, I guess you could argue that, yes, it must be a lazy way of doing it. Hard to argue, though, isn't it? It's easy in hindsight.
It is, but I think it was also just the volume, you know, of you know, it's like the amount of people's passwords and information that was leaked.
It did pretty much leak like a sieve once it went.
Yeah, it was shocking. Okay.
Still takes nasty people wanting to break into these things. That's the, you know, it's not Sony who did that, but it's, you know, there we go. You can't keep a good man down, and you can't keep bad men down either. So Kim.com is back in the news. So Kim.com was the guy behind Mega Upload and many other sites. And he more famous for being arrogantly...
fat.
arrogantly open about, you know, he's offering services for people. But I mean, people used his old Mega Upload service to share a lot of files, and some of those files ended up being copyrighted material, so that caused a lot of stink for copyright owners. And I would say in some ways rather unfairly, he got picked on and got told to shut down all his services, and he pretty much got chased out of several countries. He's back now with a new service called Mega. And cleverly, now his service actually a file manager service, a bit like Dropbox. And instead of uploading files, raw files up onto the service and encoding them when they're up on the service, all the files get encoded locally, and those encoded files get sent up. So Mega actually have no idea what your files are, and there's no one that, you know, inside the company which can actually get hold and look at that data. So they're in fact storing ones and noughts, and so nobody can argue with that. And I would say that it's pretty hard to argue against that, because, say, no one in the company would know what's in there. Clever service. Sign up, you get 50 gigabytes. So they're going down the kind of, they're really going for this type route. The site appears to be under a lot of strain from the people wanting to use it.
But have you tried it?
I've not yet.
No, have I.
Again, maybe wrongly, I'm a bit cautious of services by this chap.
Yeah, so am I. It looks like crook. There's no other way about it. It looks like an absolute crook.
but he could just be made to look like that by, you know, that's the kind of, you know, image that the copyright owners want to make him, when actually all he's doing is making a service available. So it's basically a cloud drive that he's offering, and I'm sure it's going to be a popular one. And you can just give links out to people, and those links would then include the key necessary to decode the file as it's coming down.
Yes. I've not tried it, and also I did see some people saying that the actual encryption, etc., was laughable, but I don't know how they proved that. I didn't read into the article. I was just like, well.
Again, that could be what the copyright, who knows who's saying that and why they're saying that. And maybe it is, don't know, but nevertheless, the idea and the concept there, because basically, if you take this service down, you're effectively saying that Dropbox and SugarSync and all those others and Google Drive can't exist because they're exactly the same. You can just put a file up and offer a shared link. So he's probably onto a right angle as far as how can they pull that down without pulling all these other services down as well.
Yes.
There you go. So that's mega. I don't know how you, what the site is. Is it just mega.com?
It's mega.co.nz because it's all hosted out of New Zealand.
That's probably the only mega left. We've had Microsoft release the dates and price for their Surface Pro, or Surface Windows 8 Pro, as it should be known. So we're starting at $899. And basically, if you want to have more internal storage, you pay another $100. Got the Core i5 processor. Battery life on it is half of the sort of RT Surface that we've already is already out in the wild. I think they said that is that 10 hours? So are we talking about 5 hours, something along those lines? And it's basically the similar in style, but it's fatter.
Yep, and with fans. But you can't really hear the fans.
You're bugged by the fans. You don't like the fans.
It really does irritate me.
It hasn't got any fans though. It's got fans, but it hasn't got fans.
And also, it's the fact that they're saying that the price is what, $900 or whatever. I'm ignoring the joke.
It was poor.
But it doesn't come with one of the covers, the keyboards. You know, every advert. You know, so you flick through Wired, and or if you flick through any Sunday magazine at the moment, they're obviously spending loads in adverts. And every advert has one of these, and it's almost like the first page says, you know, you can have it without, but really you need it. You know, this is when it makes sense, is when
because
you have a keyboard.
Yes, because effectively, as I said, the other one is the angle. This is how confused it all is, really. You know, the Surface RT is a tablet that can be a laptop-y type thing.
Yes.
And the Surface Pro is like a laptop that can be a tablet-y type thing.
Yep.
And that's also the kind of angle they've taken on it. So you need the keyboard on this Pro to really...
You need the keyboard, and it comes with a pen, and they've also announced that they're releasing a mouse for it as well, and it's like, good grief.
So it's just a laptop, you know.
It just feels fail. It just really doesn't make sense to
me. I'm sure people will like it. I'm sure it'll sell. But it's a laptop with a floppy keyboard, in effect.
And I'm sure in an enterprise environment, they will get sales. I've certainly been asked by a couple of folk at work, if we can't get iOS, and we have issues around getting iOS in our environment, surely we can get a Surface.
Surely we can do that, yeah.
And you're like, I can't. because
I'm still working on IE6.
No, it's IE8, actually. But it's still XP. I ain't proud. But the issue for us is encryption. You know, so the encryption software we need to use, they still don't support Windows 8 in any shape or form. But it's a bag of heart.
So when are they releasing this?
February.
February.
Yeah, so start of Feb, we'll start to see these. And February 9th in America. So we'll see reviews, I guess, the next sort of week and a half.
I'm sure we'll still see, though, you know, they were still ironing the bugs out on RT. Whether they'll ever get to the stage where they've ironed them out, I don't know. It's funny. I mean, for me, Windows 7 cracked it. I loved Windows 7. And I I'm worried now. First of all, because I've moved away from Windows, so I'm not inside that bubble anymore.
Yep.
But from what I've heard, Windows 8 is not a replacement. And I would probably, I'd still be sat. I mean, I can buy Windows 8 and I could run it. And it, what is it, $29 or something like that?
It's $29 for another week. And then it goes up to, I think it's $120. Or if you want the pro version, it's $200.
Yeah, so it's dead, dead cheap. And I haven't bought it.
No, I know.
And there you go.
And I was semi-tempted. I thought, you know, see, for the sake of like $30 or whatever it works out to be, £28 or £25, I thought it's probably worth just getting a license just to have. And I'm like, actually, I'm not going to use this. You know, just stop.
Yeah, because I'm not going to run it as a virtual machine, because why would you?
Yep.
So what's the point at the end? Because, you know, Windows 7 is a better operating system to run as a virtual machine. I don't know. So, yeah, maybe it's just because I'm outside that bubble now. Don't know.
I've still not seen one in the wild either. A Surface RT or whatever. Nope. Still not seen seen one anywhere.
Because they've been thrown in a corner. EE have tweaked their 4G pricing. 4G EE. basically, they've come up with a higher bandwidth model for higher bandwidth users. Basically, you can get 20 gigabytes per month for £46. So basically, £500 a year, and you get 20 gig a month.
As long as you sign up before February 28th, because after that,
sign up for 2 years.
Because after that, it's £61 a month.
So that's about, what's that, £650 a year.
Oy.
It's a lot of money. I mean, I guess you're already spending that money on the phone, so what's another £650? And also massively long contract, so 2 years signing up. And it's still, you know, there's all the adverts are still about, oh, you can go and watch this movie and then you can go and do this and you can go and do that. 20 gigabytes, what's that? It's going to be a couple of movies. Like, and, you know, if you used it like they show in the adverts, it's nothing still.
So interesting factoid from Shaq, he's on EE. When he first signed up, it wasn't at work, but we came back after Christmas and they'd obviously extended the network in Glasgow and we could get it at work. And he is rattling through his 3 gig. Just the fact so he'd ran out, I think he said it was either Friday or Saturday. So he said the last 4 days without any data. He just refused to pay the extra money because it's like such a rip for their extras on top to top up. And it's like, this is sore.
That's what I said at the time. Speed's all well and good, but if it just means you get to your limit quicker. That's all it means.
Yeah. The bit I didn't get about this? It's the tweak that they've done, that the entry-level price is lowered, you know, for this promotional period of 2 months. So the cheapest tariffs will be 31 instead of 36. But that's a two-year contract, and it still only gives you 500 meg a month. And it's like, that's ridiculous.
I'm sure for phone usage as it is now, where if you're just doing emails and things like that.
I don't think it is just now.
It's not just, I guess what I'm trying to say is, for me, I probably don't crack through any more than that because I don't use my phone. But if I was actually using it for what it's supposed to be and designed to be doing, I think 500 meg would struggle just to do even sat-nav and
definitely
standard searching
even the way Twitter and Facebook are changing, you know, that Twitter is more of this media, and we'll come on to a couple of things about Twitter later on, but it is more of a kind of media type company, you know, your things are in line, so if you're using their app,
it's a signposter, isn't it? It's signposting other media, basically.
But it used to be when you downloaded, like if you used Twitter, you know, aggressively, and you know, there was lots of people you followed, all you were getting was small text and links. Whereas now you're getting inline images and you're getting lots more content, and it's taken a while. Facebook, if you follow lots of people on Facebook and you like lots of things, there's a whole stream of photos getting sent to you. And I think there was a stat the other day saying that Facebook alone makes up a third of the mobile web.
Doesn't surprise me.
So 500 meg, I think, will just disappear.
Especially on, you know, speed. Because I say the whole point about data is not how fast it is, it's how available it is, basically. And okay, speed comes into it, but actually it's the amounts that you need more of to move forward rather than the speed that those amounts come
down
at. And
they've still not released sales figures.
No.
But like Amazon.
Well, Amazon don't need to, do they really?
Actually, I think they do. Well, because I mean, Apple in the last quarter have made 15 billion in profit. Amazon, and across their whole life, has made 5 billion.
But it's still a
they don't make money.
Cockload of money.
They don't release figures.
Yeah, that doesn't. But it doesn't matter.
Yeah, we sold 3 times as many Kindles this year than last. Does that mean you sold 3?
They're certainly going to be selling more than the Firefox phone's going to sell. We've announced details that they're going to release 2 handsets made by a small Spanish firm called Geeks Phone.
that inspires confidence, doesn't it?
Yeah, really. So they're targeting developers ahead of a system launch. And basically, it's a system built around HTML5. And everything, all the news we've had recently about HTML5 is that people have been burnt by trying to push it too far too quick. Like Facebook backed away from HTML5 once they decided it really wasn't up to its scratch yet. So anyway, good luck, Firefox. If you sell 3, let us know.
I think it's a race between Ubuntu and Firefox as to who sells more than 10 phones.
Maybe we're jiving about this and it's going to be the best thing ever.
No.
To be honest, I'm more likely to buy... I'm at the end of my contract, I've got to make my phone decision fairly soon.
In a world where you've got iOS versus Android, with Windows kicking around looking really good, but not selling very much, BlackBerry probably still selling a lot. But in decline, and but everybody's saying BB10 is amazing.
Really?
Yeah, I just cannot see how things like Ubuntu and Firefox can even get a leg up, you know, even just get started. It's just.
But that's because we're not visionary.
No, realism.
Maybe.
Realism.
Twitter has launched Vine. What's that all about?
So Vine's been talked about for a few months. And people didn't really know if Twitter had bought the company or not, and it turns out they have. So this is a small app that's launched today in iOS, with rumours that Android and Windows will come much later. But it's basically short form video sharing, so you can put up little 6-second videos.
6 seconds, is it?
Yeah, really, really tiny. And
that is tiny.
What they encourage you to do is when you're taking the video, there's no editing tools, so it's basically you. To take the video, you need to put your finger on the actual display, and they encourage you to do like little short, you know, like take a couple of seconds and tell a little story. And see if you think about an animated GIF. You know, see if you think about the Hazard kicking the ball by last night. But I first saw that via an animated GIF, they're chasing after that. So it's launched today. Twitter have bought this company. And it's already integrated into their little Twitter cards. So you're going to see a lot of these kind of videos kicking around. I can see it being quite popular.
When Twitter started, everyone thought, that's mad. What are you going to do? When Keek started, it was only a 30-second video, whatever it was. Everyone thought, that's never going to catch on. And it did. So I guess my cynical side says 6 seconds isn't enough. But like I said, Twitter started with 140 characters or whatever. And I thought that wasn't enough. So.
And I guess it'll be probably the more creatives. You know, if you can tell a little funny little story, and there's been a couple up already today that have been quite amusing. You know, people telling
there are clever people out there that don't need more than 6 seconds to make you laugh.
Clearly. So we'll see how that goes. But it's launched today, and the app itself is quite nice. You know, it's simple. Seems to take all the kind of judder out and all the kind of sensible stuff. So video, you know, taking is a lot more tricky than taking a photo, but they've made it really easy.
Cool. Facebook Graph. Let's get on to some fun, because we talked about this last week. So Facebook Graph is Facebook's natural way of searching all through their object and information based data that they've got on all their users. Whenever you click on like, don't forget that Facebook know then that you've liked it. Now, so we've had the beta stretching out across, I think it's US started, and gradually it's sort of growing and being rolled out.
Yep.
And we've had the first one showing some really quite frightening searches that you can do via the Facebook Graph. Why don't you take us through some of the ones that this guy's run through?
So this is from Tom Scott, who's UK-based. He's a bit of a geek. He was on, I can't remember the name of the Sky One program last year that was kind of like trying to be like Gadget Show, but like worse.
Really?
Yeah, I know. But his actual web content is fantastic. So he's constantly churning out, you know, funny, clever stuff on online.
I think he's put his finger and nailed. He's put his finger exactly where we were talking about last week.
Absolutely. So he launched the hell? He launched a Tumblr, actualfacebookgraphsearches.tumblr.com, and he basically just ran it for a day, and it got picked up everywhere. Because the searches,
because this is what they didn't tell you about in their kind of absolutely, their keys.
But it's what everybody thought, and nobody really has tried over the last week. But somebody did, and they were like, "Oh my good grief." So one of the ones that jumped out for me, mothers of Jews who like bacon. And what he's done is he's made it easy to, there's a picture of the search, the results that he gets back, and he's hid all the data, because obviously people, if they can't see what that they're actually appearing in these searches right now, you know, they might be offended or whatever. So he's hidden all of that. So he's not actually, you know, he's redacted it.
So yes, but nevertheless, when you get access to this, you will get to see all the people. I mean, this is all public information. So this is the people who have not hidden, you know, and put the privacy controls in place to stop this going out there. And it will show you the mothers of Jews who like bacon.
Or indeed married people who like prostitutes. And the best bit is that in the sidebar, this is the bit that got me. So in the sidebar underneath the search that he's done, a link to their spouses. You know, it's like, surely somebody at Facebook has tried this and thought, we can't.
I guess it's one of those, it's just the power of data. That's the power of data.
So there was current employers of people who like racism. And this came up on another podcast, and people were saying, how can you like racism? But somebody's just on a page on Facebook, and people were saying, but that's ironic. And it's like, but internet,
but if you've clicked
there's no context of irony.
No, it's either Facebook. Like or not.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, what's to stop the Daily Mail or another newspaper running that search and saying, there you go, here's all the people at BBC who have liked racism, even though they were being ironic and it was a joke at some point in their past lives. Mothers of Catholics from Italy who like Durex. People who like English Defence League and curry.
I mean, what I love about this, it doesn't give you the summary of, you know, there are this many people. It actually shows you all the people that this search, and okay, this is going to offend a lot of people.
Really? Islamic men interested in men who live in Tehran?
And that's got scary ramifications.
With a handy sidebar link to places where they've worked.
Yeah. That, basically, it's place name, you know, mugshot for people to go and take. Oh, it's just dangerous.
And the final one I actually thought was all right. I didn't see what was wrong with it. Single women who live nearby and are interested in men and like getting drunk. What could possibly go wrong?
Nothing could go wrong with that, surely.
But this is exactly what we talked about last week. And unfortunately, there's far worse.
Yeah, it's, you know, with great power comes great responsibility, and I guess maybe the news fallout from this will make people again go back to their privacy settings, or maybe just make people just more aware.
And I've not got it yet. I didn't quite realise, but within Facebook, I mean, it's their top search bar. I mean, Facebook as a word at the top of your Facebook page disappears. Okay. They really have, you know, gone to town on this. It's like, wow.
I mean, why? I guess for these generic searches, I guess the idea is that you can search for people that you know via another route or find connections to people. And I guess that's why they initially did it. But these kind of searches that are going on, is there any reason why it's showing people? I guess that's the whole thing. It is people.
Yeah. And the thing is, it's they've not changed anything with the privacy or whatever, but it's just people, you don't...
This is the data that you could go and get that data.
Yep.
Okay, you'd have to do a lot of trawling, but the information's out there.
And I still think it's the friends of friends stuff. It's think you're fine, but it's friends of friends sharing stuff out that you don't realise. I think that's going to be the killer when you start to realise that, you know, photos of you are starting to appear in certain searches, and you thought, how is that possible? I've not... Oh, he's done it. Or she's done it, or they've put that up. I didn't realise it was there.
I'm still not even sure how all that works. Most of my settings are just friends settings, like you say. But if you tag someone else in it, then they've got friends of friends, I think it extends further.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm not even sure how that goes. Anyway, yes. So I think the true and real power of what Facebook collects is, and in a way, if Facebook have collected all this data, then you can be pretty sure that Google's, if they ever release the kind of, you know, their kind of trawl of information, which has been going for years across all loads of different platforms. You know, they've got adverts that display everywhere and stuff. So
I did have a very bizarre migraine and just dream of walking down the street and seeing Google searches above people's heads. Well, totally like what we've talked about, but I was in that dream and it was all working. It was great.
Google Glass, you'd probably be all right.
It was great. Google, yeah.
Okay, that's the end of our news stories for today. So you have a couple of picks for us, which is good.
I do. The first is an app for the iPad. It's called Documents for iPad, and it's by Readle. So that's R-E-A-D-D-L-E. And this is like basically a free file viewer. So you can view Word documents, Excel, etc., images, audio files. But what I really liked was the PDF support. So you can fire in some PDFs, and it's a really nice, clean interface, really simple tool, and it's very fast as well. So it's really quick to load up the PDF. And that was about it. It's just a really, really smart, clean, free app.
Does it get the files online, or does it off your
You can do it through iTunes, you can do it through Cloud, you can do it through Dropbox, all the kind of usual things.
Okay.
And for me, it's replaced Goodreader. I've been using Goodreader for probably a couple of years. And lots of people, you know, hate Goodreader because it's functionally very, very good, but the interface was always a bit of like an FTP program. It was a bit ugly, but it worked. Documents has replaced that for me. It's free and it's in the App Store now.
Okay, and what's the second one?
My second one is an app called Holla, which I just installed. Holla. Thanks for doing that.
Okay.
Installed this afternoon, and this is basically a region unblocker. So it's a Chrome extension that just allows you to access things like Hulu, Pandora, Fox, CBS. So all the kind of music and video content that's usually region locked is now unlocked via this extension. Or if you're abroad and you really want to see some iPlayer content, just install this extension.
My only slight concern on it is that I would like to look into where that data is being channeled and who, you know, what computer systems and where it's being proxied from, which is pretty much how it would be working.
Yes, but I fired up Pandora and was able to listen to Pandora for an hour.
For the first time in years.
Yeah, and it was like, I remember you so well.
Spotify's better.
Anyway.
There you go. So that's holla.hola.org. If you want to go in.
Yeah, so if you just go into the Chrome store and just search for Holla, and you can install Holla.
That's the end of the podcast. If you want to find out more, why would you want to find out more? Of course you want to find out more. DigitalOutbox.com on interweb. Email us info@digitaloutbox.com, and we're on Twitter and Skype as Digital Outbox. I am on Twitter as CheesyUK. And Ian, where are you?
I am... I've totally forgot. I'm on Twitter Sweeper, and my blog is iandd.net.
Giving up on your app.net.
IanDickinApp.net, but I just can't get into the routine. It's too many. It's one social network too many, unfortunately.
No renewal on that bad boy.
No, you never know.
When's Pebble coming?
They started shipping yesterday, and they did have a bit of news. They said, well, the iOS app's not been through the App Store, but you can get it on Google. And I was like, oh, okay, I can get it on Android. So I fired up the Nexus and went to install the Pebble app, and it said it's not ready for your device. It's not whatever, that horrible little thing that says, you know, like, oh, your device is not supported by this application, which is the same for Flickr.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? That's the bit that's really irritating me the most about Android.
Especially as it's the flagship.
It's just like, what a cock. But then,
so you're going to have a Pebble?
I got another email today saying actually it is on iOS. So I've installed the app. Woo-hoo! It's on my iPhone. Get it up, you Chris Hutchison. I will be wearing my Pebble and it will be able to talk to my iPhone.
So that, yeah, for when the times when your phone's in your pocket and you need to glance at a screen. How exciting, right?
Just imagine you're driving around the track and you're thinking, oh, I really want to look in the pocket. If I just had the Pebble, I could just flick my wrist. But instead, I'll be like, oh no, I need to wait 13 laps more until I find out what my lap time is or whatever.
There's nothing that I need that's that important to need my Pebble. Anyway, that's the end of the podcast. Thank you for listening, and we will be back with you next week. Speak to you then.
Goodbye and good night. Why did I say that?
Ta-ra! Do that, Chuck.
Oh, dear.
Welcome to another episode. If you're joining us this week, it probably means you just about got through last week without committing suicide.
Don't mention suicide.
That's bad. Should we start
don't
again?
Don't mention a war. No. We need to keep going.
Okay, let's keep rolling. You might have to chop that out as well. I'm going to have to start again now.
Oh, no.
Right, just keep rolling. Or do you want to stop and start?
Let's just keep going.
Shall I just go straight in again?
Yeah.
It is Thursday, the 24th of January, and this is 100... Oh, shit. It's one of them days. I'm starting again.